Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Andy and his wife have a bedroom issue that we discussed today. We'll keep our powder dry.
Nothing to do with our new cricket sponsor.
So you'll hear about that. There'll be some sport talked about as well. And we went back to 1995, didn't we? Eric Cantona, the infamous Kung
Very
Fu Kick.
Book.
It was. Daniel Storey, the author of a new book, taking us back those 250 days when Eric was out.
Mm.
So we hope you enjoy all this.
I'm a bit tired this morning.
Really?
A bit tired, yeah. The anti-snoring pillow arrived yesterday.
Ah, now was David Morrissey the fine actor right that you put it over your face?
Yeah, I might as well have done. Well, I was tempted.
What's the science?
It was a complete disaster.
Let's bring listeners up today. Andy Jacobs is a big fan of Instagram, and Instagram has these pop-up ads to buy stuff, and he has a bit of a weakness for buying stuff when it does, including a headband with a punch ball attached to it. That's right, you heard me right. Headband with a punch ball attached to it, £8.
Basically hits you in the face.
Most of the stuff he orders never ever turns up and he can't be bothered to chase it. Just give us one or two of the other items you've bought.
I ordered some slippers from China for somebody.
What
for
kind
Christmas.
Of slippers?
They're like Converse basketball boots, but they're slippers.
Okay.
And they're great, but they when they finally came, they were ages ago, they were like three sizes too small. You're going to send them back to China, are you? What am I going to do with them? Brilliant.
So anyway, despite the fact that you don't get half the stuff and most of it's rubbish, you still keep going back in.
Well, the Sun recommended the anti-snoring pillow, and I thought, well, it's got to be good because both of us, I'm sure like a lot of couples, both of us complain to each other that we both do it. You know? But honestly, it was a complete disaster. I never heard my wife snore so loudly.
What, last night? Mate, it's not,
honestly,
it's not
that, that was the worst ever. I had to go in the other room.
It's not a snore
disaster.
Amplifying pillow, is it? It's got a small speaker built into it. That would be great, wouldn't it?
It was ridiculous.
Not happy with your partner snoring? Then try it with this small Marshall stack. Yeah, that's a nice idea.
Would have been good.
So it didn't work?
No, it didn't.
You don't know what the science is?
I can't really. All it is a very sort of, it's almost like it's hardly there. It's almost like just sleeping on the, I suppose it's to do with the position of your neck, but I don't think it worked.
Are you a bad snore? What kind of...
I've no idea because I can't hear myself.
You ever been recorded?
No.
That's the other thing that couples do. You record each other and say, this is what you sound like.
That's a bad one.
That would be... Well, I mean,
that's not good, really.
Okay.
No, I've no idea. But
we'll keep us informed, Andy, on the anti-snoring pillow, if there's any movement in that.
We're going to talk to John about the cricket, but what a beautiful day's bowling from one of the all-time greats, Jimmy Anderson.
Yeah, sensational.
It's fascinating to watch. It was brilliant test cricket, that. And I love this Caribbean series for TV-wise because you can watch up till about 9 o'clock. And you've got plenty of time to really enjoy the sort of last two or three hours.
I had to go out and I was listening to the last half hour with our boys, and they were on sensational form. You know, Harmy, of course, knows all these fellas, has known Stokes for years, and talking about Jimmy, and it was brilliant. And Goffey as well. It was a really good listen.
John was right about that. You know, the only thing we were talking about whether he should have played for a bat, he should have played for Rashid. The problem is Joe Root doesn't trust Rashid. He only trusts him to bowl the overs to get to the new ball, like they did yesterday, or to get the tail enders out. And, you know, I think Broad would have been better. And I felt a bit for Curran because he was really expensive and leaking runs. I was calling him Jim Leaker.
Jim Leaker.
Yeah. It really was quite a poor effort.
Take
by
as
him,
many
he's really good.
Wickets as Jim Leaker, that would be quite good.
Yeah, it would be, yeah. But anyway, we'll talk a bit more about that later. What have I got here? That's right. Oh, yeah. This is a good one, actually, from the...
Did you watch the game last night? You watched the cricket? You didn't watch Burton?
Oh, I turned over and I just saw it was 1-0. I mean, Burton, well done, Burton.
It was a good result, wasn't it? Yeah.
But I had no appetite to watch it.
No.
You couldn't,
could it
you?
It was quite difficult, really.
Well, you know, it's difficult. I mean, I haven't got much appetite for tonight's game, to be really honest. But congratulations to Greta Plowman, 99, who hopes to set a world record.
What's she having for lunch?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, sorry about that. Is that her name?
Yes.
Greta Plowman.
I see that's a big question. What's she having for lunch?
Oh, okay.
The thing where I do the setup, you just guess what the joke is. Well, that's I don't blame you. I mean, it was a fairly obvious one. It's a shame, though, because I told that one to my wife this morning. She laughed.
She laughed, that's right, yeah. But, I mean, didn't she see it coming?
No, she's not like you. She's not a doctor of comedy.
Hey, now look.
Yes.
Andy.
Yeah,
and his,
look.
Yeah, look. Now look. Yeah. Andy and his wife are struggling to sleep because they both snore. They've tried a watch that sends an electrical charge through them and they frighten the life out of them, get waking up every 20
that
minutes.
Was good, yeah.
They've now got the snore amplification pillow they bought on Instagram.
I bought another thing on Instagram that you put up your nose, like it's like a nose mouth organ.
You look really, like the League of Gentlemen. Is that what it looks like when you put it in? Nose mouth organ.
I shall bring it in, it's absolutely useless.
Does it turn you basically into a snoring Larry Adler? Fantastic. What did I sound like last night? Well, I think we got the old Grey Whistle Test theme and the music from Genevieve. Yeah. Don't tell Mimi, that's one for the teenagers. Anyway, Andy, try a boxer's mouth guard.
Okay.
It works for me, says Mark in Seaburn. Yeah. So that's good. Thank you, Mark, for that. Try a boxer's mouth. You've still got one of those when you're boxing.
I have, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
When you put that in, you don't grind your teeth. Other people do that,
no,
in you.
No, I don't think
even
I
after
do.
A Chelsea defeat.
I might do tonight, yeah.
Yeah.
During the game.
Okay.
Yeah, well, actually, I'll be doing it as soon as I see the team. Really, honestly, I've never felt more like it's
singing
all
the blues.
About the team selection. Yeah. If he picks Giroud, we've got a chance. If he goes with the same old thing that he's done that's not worked for the last six, seven games, nine games, then basically it's a turn around and go home, I think. I won't, but that's what you'll feel like doing.
You're up against an understrength Spurs, Andy. I think
very much so, yeah.
It's, it's going to be very difficult for them tonight.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Congratulations.
Oh, you too.
To Harriet and Richard Christmas. Oh, on the birth of their baby, but I'm not sure I'd call him Arthur.
No, or Mary.
Yeah, Mary or Arthur. And it was a boy. But honestly.
Are they gone with Arthur?
Yeah.
They call him Arthur Christmas.
Arthur Christmas.
That's it. Yeah,
it's his second name, but it's good though, isn't it?
That's good, marvellous. Well done.
Well played.
Yeah.
Do you want a quick T20? But T20 birthday spread.
I've got to try and guess the age of this person you're going to give me.
Yes,
right? Okay, go on. Then all right.
We've
then
got
we'll
a new tech op, so he's got to find Pelé.
Okay,
well, start till Pelé.
He'll be in there somewhere.
Okay, it's going to be somebody you know. It's the legendary host of University Challenge, not Jeremy Paxman, but the first one. Bamber Gascoigne,
yeah. Wow.
And I served hors d'oeuvres once to nearly a dozen of his mates. I said, hi, Bamber, here's your start for 10.
Oh, blimey.
I had to get it in quick before you did it.
Yeah.
That's like he's going to go starter for 10, right? So I'm
it's a ploughman's game.
Yeah,
I'd say he's got to be about 91, hasn't he?
Oh, I forgot to give you a spread. I would have said
within
five, but it was actually 84.
80, well, I blew it then, didn't I?
Yeah,
it was a disaster.
Unlucky, really.
Absolute disaster. It's gone terribly wrong for me.
What can you do? You see that Thomas Tuchel was referring to Neymar getting injured yesterday as Ney. He calls him Ney. We're worried about Ney. I was thinking, that's what Frankie Howard used to call him.
Yeah, that's right.
Ney, exactly.
Yes, that's one for the teenagers as well, isn't it? What if you said to Thomas Tuchel in a press conference, oh, sound a bit like Frankie Howard.
He wouldn't know
what kind of
about.
He may be a kind of real student. Yeah. He's watched that thing every Christmas, Dinner for One.
Yeah.
He may be a fan of old black and white comedy from the UK.
Very good point. Yeah, he might be. What's the name of this fellow? Where is? Oh yeah, Twitter founder Jack Dorsey has admitted that the social network is divisive. Yeah, thanks very much for inventing it. Well done. Yeah. Tremendous, marvelous effort there by you.
Yeah.
What else have I got here? I've got a statistic. This is an odd one. This honestly, Mike Dickens are going about this. This is academics who come up with sort of surveys or theories on things that don't really matter. So, for example, this is a classic one. This Bruce Wayne's Gotham City home, complete with Batcave gadgets, would have cost £98 million in real life, home experts estimate. You think, What's the point? It doesn't exist in a city that doesn't exist, and it would never happen. But never mind. Okay, yeah.
Well, there's a bit of transfer news.
Oh, is there? What is it?
This news, it could be good news for Newcastle fans.
What's that?
They say, they have picked up, I mean, certain people are saying that they've picked up the young 24-year-old defender from Lazio, Romelu Lukaku's younger brother, Jordan.
Oh, really? Yeah. Hasn't he played for Belgium on occasion?
Oh, I think he has.
I have a feeling, yeah.
So,
that could be good.
24-year-old, younger brother of Romelu Lukaku. I think he's going to be on loan initially. Because it was very interesting. You heard Luke Edwards on with the guys on Breakfast the other day, off of his piece in The Telegraph, saying, unless he got a couple of signings, that was it. He was off at the end of the season. And it does seem to have been a bit of a catalyst, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because
he's in a good position there. Yeah. You know, he's a very, very good manager, and he's done a terrific job at Newcastle under incredibly difficult circumstances. I'm sure he'd be snapped up immediately. Mm. He's not always the easiest to work with. You know, he can fall out with the bosses of the club he's at, but he's also an incredibly good manager.
Yeah. So there we are. That's not confirmed, but that is the word.
If I was Mike Ashton, I wouldn't want him to go. I wouldn't let him go.
Oh, no, blimey, not at all.
And it's worth backing him. I mean, because especially in this window, because I think Newcastle got a very good chance of staying up, given that, you know, it's going to be very hard for Huddersfield, very hard for Cardiff, you know. So I think they've got a good chance.
Later on in the show, we will be finding out about what we believe was a young player's initiation ceremony in non-league football. And this goes on a lot in football, of course, and it does involve normally a sort of young player standing on a chair in the canteen or in the dressing room singing a bit of R&B. And being laughed at. And they're always very reluctant. But our guest later on, I think it's fair to say, embraced it and took it to a new level. It was like a sort of Vegas stage show.
It did look good.
In which case, it's kind of backfired, isn't it, from the player's point of view, because they're there to make him feel as uncomfortable as possible.
Yeah.
And he's basically done a turn for them.
Is it there? It's not really done to make them feel uncomfortable as possible. It's made them to feel, to have fun and to break down the barriers.
I suppose it is, but, you know, there's a bit of sadism in there, don't you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Making a, you know,
a little bit,
young then, guy gets in
but
the
not
squad.
To the point where you really make him feel bad.
Oh, no. It's not that bad, but, you know, it's not the easiest thing, I wouldn't think, if you're a young footballer. You're going to that environment with a lot of people you don't know.
And Sky have announced, we'll be talking about it later, we're very excited about the first ever, this is true,
First
ever underwater news bulletin.
Yeah.
So we're urging Sky Sports to follow us.
It'd be great, wouldn't it, Jim? My yellow diving suit. That would be fantastic, wouldn't it? Yeah, Jim in a yellow diving suit.
I could see that. It's tremendous.
It'd be good. It hurts doing that.
You need a thing of water.
What's a thing of water?
A glass of water.
You need a thing of... Homer Simpson. What's that thing you dig? Food. That's it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast
from TalkSport.
A chocolate bar aimed at football fans has been launched. Cadbury has created a limited number of its classic dairy milkshare bars.
Yeah.
Milkshare bars. Oh, I see. Yeah. With a Premier League turf design.
Oh, yeah.
So it's for football fans. And, of course, on their fruit and nut, they've got a picture of Diego Maradona.
Of course they have. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Anything else?
Oh, yes, plenty.
Good.
he said, Unai Emery.
Oh, yeah.
Unai Emery wants Arsenal to hire Monchi, the Roma sporting director. He's brilliant. He worked with him for 3 years at Sevilla. Matt's Scott, we spoke to earlier, is very excited.
No, he's very good at his job, yeah.
He is, and I know them quite well. His family often come over at night. Hey, it's the Monchies.
Oh, yeah. When they case out, you sing that
That's
song.
That's what I sing when they walk through the door, yeah.
We were talking about Frankie de Jong earlier on, and Barcelona's website has announced his arrival.
Is it some mad... They're getting more and more mad, these videos.
No. It's the choice of words they've used to describe him as a player. Yeah. Now, you might say he's got a versatile player. You know, you might argue that that would be the case. He can play in defence as well. Yeah, sure. But that's not the word they use. I don't know if this has been lost in translation slightly, but they say he's a polyvalent player.
Polyvalent?
It's normally used in the kind of chemical industry, that word. But it's not
polytechnic.
No, he's a polyvalent player with an excellent reading of the game. And I thought, I've never ever heard that word used in the context
of football. I'm going to try that tonight.
You're going to sit there with the boys and say, oh, he's very good. He's polyvalent, isn't he? But I just think, has Barry Fry ever got on the phone and said, hello, mate, we got this boy. We don't want him anymore. He's polyvalent. You have him for $5,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I doubt if he ever has. Old Barry never done that.
Now, we're used to, in the world of reality shows, we're used to sort of spats. They're a good way of publicising the show. They get people interested.
Yeah.
But this one in Dancing on Ice.
We should have a spat, Andy. Why don't we have a spat?
Because we like each other. Well, I like you.
I don't like you.
I know you don't.
So that must be the makings of a spat. But
it could be, because
you're right. That, you know, where would the X Factor be? Where would any of these shows be without a spat?
I don't know. I mean, we could have one with our producer John.
There have been presenters on this station who've had spats.
Oh yes. Oh no, they have.
Yeah,
with other presenters as well from other stations.
Yeah. That's, oh Chats. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, there's, yeah, there's been a few.
I'm going to kiss and tell now. I'm waiting for the book to come out. I'm like Schultz.
There is a new book, isn't it? On the way at some point.
So anyway, spats, Andy.
Anyway, spats. Anyway, this one about Dancing on Ice judge Jason Gardner suing the GC for defamation, apparently. Mm. This would be amusing.
The GC. Don't you buy into her nonsense.
That's what I call
her. The GC.
Honestly, I was surprised, though, that he doesn't seem to think this is a problem, but he can't skate, Jason Gardner.
He's a dancer, isn't he? Isn't he got a dancing background?
You know, dancing and skating aren't quite the same thing.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Now, we take you back to the 25th of January, 1995, an evening game at Selhurst Park between Crystal Palace and Manchester United. And Eric Cantona has just been shown the red card. This is our old mate Jonathan Pearce in full flow at the moment when the red card was issued. Of course, something happened after that, as you'll discover, in his old Capital Gold days. Listen to this.
Supreme talent. He launched himself 6 feet into the crowd and kung fu kicked a supporter who was without a shadow of a doubt giving him lip.
Well, there we are, JP.
I thought he was right.
Yeah.
I don't know what the problem was.
Well, it was the catalyst, potentially, for a huge turnaround in the club's fortunes. And it was a very interesting period when he was banned. And writing about it in 250 Days, Cantona's Kung Fu and the Making of Manchester United. Daniel Storey joins us. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was complete and utter shock, wasn't it, that evening when we watched that all unfold?
Yeah, it was like nothing we'd ever seen before, and it became as Jonathan Pearce alludes to, a media storm that we'd never seen before. Cantona, I think the game felt, had this in his locker, had this in his personality, but we'd never seen it released so spectacularly. And yeah, it became something that defined Manchester United's next era, purely by accident, because clearly the incident itself was incredibly shocking and incredibly damaging to the club's reputation.
Yeah.
So what happened exactly between the time that Cantona was suspended and when he came back?
So the three big things that happened, firstly was Alex Ferguson's reaction, was that he initially was favouring the club getting rid of Cantona, either selling him or sacking him. But pretty quickly the club advised him that that wouldn't be possible. And so Ferguson rallied around Cantona. He effectively decided, right, we're going to build a team around this guy. If we're going to keep him, we're going to make him special, because that's how I think I can get the best out of him. And that's how I think we can avoid this happening again. Mm. The second thing that happened is that Ferguson agreed to effectively completely revitalise Manchester United's squad by signing no players. He sold Andrei Kanchelskis and Mark Hughes, both of which were kind of predicted in that Andy Cole had come in the January and Kanchelskis was playing for a move anyway. But he also sold Paul Ince, who had kind of filled that Cantona vacuum, that power vacuum within the club, and become a sort of self-appointed leader. And in doing so, he attracted a huge amount of criticism from within the club and externally as well. Manchester United fans doubted that. There was a poll in the Manchester Evening News in which over half fans surveyed said that they thought Ferguson had got it wrong and that his time was up.
Mm.
But Ferguson put faith in that class of 92. Cantona's first game back against Liverpool was coincidentally the first time that all six of that class of 92 had played together in the same game, which is really fitting, because the third thing that happened is that Cantona was persuaded by Ferguson to take that generation of players under his wing, and that was for the making of him and for them.
It was a very kind of combative time for the club. First, Manchester United tried to control the situation by imposing their own ban to the end of the season on Cantona. Then the FA extended it, and United felt that they'd been stiffed a little bit there, didn't they? And then also, I mean, he always had a prickly relationship, well, generally had a prickly relationship with the press. But I remember it being that period, especially with Sir Alex Ferguson and the press, was a difficult time, wasn't it?
It was indeed, and Ferguson, having made the decision to stick behind Cantona, did what he did best, which was went into siege mentality mode, into firefighting mode. The club were incredibly frustrated at the Football Association extending his ban. Effectively, they felt that by putting in a suspension, they would go ahead of the FA, and they were led to believe that that would be the end of the matter. Mm. In fact, the Football Association made it pretty clear that they considered banning Cantona for life. In the end, they extended his ban until the October, which made Ferguson's decision to stick by Cantona inherently risky, because it effectively meant that when he came back, there was no guarantee he was going to hit the ground running. And having missed out on the title to Blackburn in 1994-95, this was a huge test of Ferguson's credentials. Mm. But yes, he went into firefighting mode, he went into siege mentality mode, and he went into me against the press mode.
Yeah. And he did... Yeah, sorry, Andy, carry on.
I was going to say, he did go on to become an all-time United hero. I mean, there was even a film about it, wasn't he, Looking for Eric and all this.
Yeah. Thing.
He was a cult figure, really.
He was, and I think that's mainly because he had this superstar talent, but he also had this everyman quality, the flaws of the everyman that supporters could identify with. And also, I think they appreciate his role as a mentor, as an idol for those players that came through. It wasn't... It would have been impossible to have Cantona as a mentor if it was purely talent, because you could not copy that kind of natural skill. And I think one of the standout characteristics of that class of 92 is that they made the most of their ability. Players like David Beckham and Gary Neville and Paul Scholes made the most of what they had. And to all intents and purposes, and listening to those United players, that was because of Eric's effect on them.
That period as well, he kept a pretty low profile, apart from one infamous press conference, of course.
When
he just sat there and said, hello. And then they let the lawyer do most of the talking. And then they asked him if he had anything to say. And, of course, he said, when the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because, etc. And in the book, you say that he carefully chose his words, didn't he? He was asking Maurice Watkins, Manchester United's legal representative.
Yeah, there are two trains of thought here. The first is that you know, it was a fairly transparent metaphor for the media that they were following him around, trying to get tidbits of gossip and salacious news. The second train of thought is that, which Cantona played on later, was that he came up with the words at random in conversation with Maurice Watkins. And it was merely a choice of random words in order to put the media off the scent and to change the story from what he'd done, his actions, to his words and his personality, and kind of increase the myth of Cantona. And if that was his intention, it certainly worked, because, again, this story is really interesting in that it led to two of the most famous Premier League quotes. One is the seagull following the trawler, yeah, and one is the "you'll win nothing with kids" that Alan Hansen said in the August of 1995. So, this was Cantona's attempt to control the story, having stayed deliberately quiet for so long.
I just love the idea of him standing there saying, "What do you call those sea birds?" And they say, "Oh, seagulls." Okay, I'll write that down. And those small fish. What are those small? You could say sprats. No, I don't like sprats. Sardines. So that'll be it. Yeah,
exactly that. Exactly.
Yeah, I think we all went with the former, didn't we? We all felt it was a bit of a pop at the press. That was the nature of it.
He did have a wonderful arrogance about him, though, didn't he? He did that famous goal where he just stands there.
Yeah. I mean, the players say that in the book. You say in the book, a number of them, you know, like Roy Keane says, he kind of walked in like he owned the place. But I mean, that was when you had a lot of senior pros, that could be taken in a slightly different way. But as you said, with a lot of young players coming through, he became that focal point. And of course, the following season, they went on and won the title, didn't they?
Yeah, and the trust that Ferguson placed him in Cantona was the reason for him deciding to stay. There was serious interest from Inter Milan. They almost signed him initially when he committed to a new contract, and then towards the end of his ban, Manchester United arranged a few friendlies in which they were going to play local teams. They played Rochdale, and the FA tried to investigate that and said he shouldn't be playing in friendly matches. And effectively, Cantona flew off the handle and put in a transfer request. And he was, again, very close to joining Inter Milan. But it was Ferguson telling him, "Look, I want you to be my guy. I want to make you the captain. I want you to lead this team on." Now, Cantona didn't actually stay at Manchester United for that long thereafter. He retired, as we know, pretty early on. But he did create that new era. He did win them the league in that 95-96 season. He did win them the FA Cup final with these, you know, he scored five winners in 1-0 wins in the last 15 games of the league season. He scored the winner in the FA Cup final and managed. It was an absolutely tremendous and iconic piece of man management from Ferguson.
And of course, it's the one piece of footage, I think I'm still right in saying, that the Premier League won't license. If you do your 50 most shocking moments in football, you get the same two or three stills. And JP's commentary. Yes. You don't ever hear see the footage because they won't release it.
I wonder why.
They probably see it as the kind of the great disgrace. They don't want to see it as a moment they would rather forget in the history of the Premier League.
That's certainly why they imposed the ban they did, because the Premier League at that point was, until Cantona came along, was the Division One rolled in glitter. It was this different name, but pretty much the same.
There weren't a lot of foreign players, were they? Not
at the point when Cantona started. No. When he came back from his ban, there were a few more. But yeah, that ban was imposed because they wanted to move away from this 1980s hooliganism reputation that the old Division One had. And you know, Cantona's actions very clearly didn't fit into that.
Yeah. So, fascinating stuff. It was an incredible era. It brought a lot of it back to me, really, because I remember at the time, it was a huge story. It was never off the back pages. There was always, at least every day, there was a small, there'd be a few column inches, there'd be a mention of Cantona throughout that period, wouldn't there? It just never went away. It was even if you lived it, I don't know if you could realise how huge a story it was.
Well, yeah. The bloke who, Matthew Simmons. We've never really heard from him.
Well, I didn't know. I thought he'd never done anything, but you say that he spoke to the French journalists a few years later.
So Foot, where he, at the time, he was a football hooligan. There are actually rumours, which I detail in the book, that he was a QPR or Fulham fan who had got into the home end. But yes, he had associations with the National Front. He was later banned from football grounds for extra football violence that he did. But in 2007, yes, a So Foot journalist tracked him down, and he said, you know, "This ruined my life. I was a stupid boy. I shouldn't have done what I did, but it ruined my life because Cantona got to play football again, whereas I never really recovered. I lost my friends. I lost my job. I had to live with my mum because the press were chasing me." So he expressed huge regret for the incident.
And there's a little minutiae of the moment you write about. Paul Ince, of course, weighs in and gets a hot cup of tea thrown over him, doesn't he? It's like there's a little moments on the periphery of the main bit as well.
Yeah, Paul Ince, Paul Ince is very much the side character in the story because he goes to court with Cantona. He's found not guilty, but he goes to court with Cantona. He then moves on because he tried to take Cantona's place and made him the self-styled governor at Manchester United. And obviously, yeah, he went to Inter Milan, whereas Cantona didn't. So he is the very interesting side character.
Yeah, good stuff. Lovely to see you, Daniel. Thanks very much for coming in. We wish you well with the book. 250 days, Cantona's Kung Fu in the making of Manchester United.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4pm on TalkSport.
So there we are. That was this afternoon. It's good hearing Jonathan's commentary again, wasn't it? It was fantastic. Yeah. Iconic bit of commentary.
Amazing, wasn't it, really? Yeah. So we're all looking forward to tonight's game. Well, why so?
I wouldn't say that.
No, neither.
Okay, well, we'll be poring over that. One of us will be happy at least. We've got to get a result. A draw's no good in a knockout competition. We'll see you
Pep
tomorrow.
Pep Guardiola will be happy.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow from one.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.